Well, welcome back to the God School, where through the Word, that is, the Word of God, we are communicating the truth of that word I'm grasping. You know, we're in this series called Good Soil, and it comes out of that first parable that Jesus taught of the sower and the seed. And I'm speaking to those, if you've been with us through this series, and if this is the first time you've listened, you'd need to go back and start from the beginning of this series. I'm talking to good soil. I'm talking to dirt that God has blessed, the meaning of which is the ability to receive the word. And through those descriptions found in Matthew and Mark and Luke that pertain to this parable, the words tribulation, the words affliction, the words persecution, for the word's sake, appear. Now, I never planned for this to be a series. But by God's Spirit, we're continuing on the Apostle Paul, whom God chose to give insight, to give revelation to those four Gospels and the meanings thereof through his epistles, the last letter that he wrote. Now, you wouldn't understand that in the order that these epistles are contained in the Bible. But 2 Timothy is the last letter that we have of the Apostle Paul. And he's writing this letter from that which is called the Mamertine Dungeon, 19 feet underground in prison, with all the power of the then known world walking and riding and ruling above his head. And he writes. Now, I want you to understand something. This is a man who, when he wrote to the church at Rome from Corinth, he had great hopes of adding to that church the knowledge of God. He had great hopes that he would be brought prosperously on his journey to Rome as he was on his way to Spain. He had great human hopes. And history records that's not how his journey was. Instead, carried in chains to Rome and thrown down 19 feet below ground into a dungeon. For a moment. For these moments, I want you to put yourself, I want me to put myself in Paul's place. Chained, imprisoned. He writes this letter, he says, in that first chapter, he tells his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, this you know, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Are you listening? And if Paul or you or I depend on earthly circumstance for the confidence of our faith, Paul says it in another place. He says, if we have hope in this life only, we are most miserable of men. That is not the spirit of the Apostle Paul, but the Apostle Paul had the Spirit of God in him, and I would have us listen to some of the words of this last letter that we have from him. And he opens and he says, Paul, an apostle, the word means sent one, Paul, a sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God, he's 19 feet underground. His human hopes dashed. He's still going to preach the gospel in spite of the circumstances that surrounded him. Paul, a sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. What do you mean, in Christ Jesus? This is such a prominent place, this phrase, in Christ Jesus, takes preeminence over any earthly circumstance. Paul, a sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, unmerited favor, mercy and peace. Mercy, the word in the Greek is eloos. It means kindness or goodwill toward the miserable or afflicted, with a desire to help. God's mercy. Grace, mercy, and peace. God is not against us. Paul, as we've said often now, in prison. He gives his testimony in the Corinthian letter. He says, in the sixth chapter of Corinthians, he says, but in all things, approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, word is endurance, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as pure yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Folks, we're talking today about time versus eternity. We taught last week about the principalities and powers, about those wicked spirits in high places, rulers of this world, of this age, and that is this time. We're talking about the time. We're talking about the ages to come. We're going to address that a little later. Understand his circumstance. What's your circumstance? Not one of us will ever match the testimony of the Apostle Paul, but in our particular afflictions, or our particular tribulations, or our particular persecutions, what is it, sickness? We have the name Jehovah Rapha. What is it, need? We have the name Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provides. We that name Jehovah Rapha, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. In fact, God makes it so personal through William Tyndale in his translation, I'm the Lord thy surgeon, thy personal surgeon. Is it conflict? Jehovah Shalom. The Lord our peace. Is it unrighteousness? Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Is it lack of direction? Jehovah Roi, the Lord is shepherding us. Paul, who had these great human hopes of entering Rome with great joy because of the good news he was bringing to them, enters in chains and he's imprisoned. And he writes to this young preacher in the 8th verse of the 1st chapter. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, that is, a calling out to be separated? Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I hope you're hearing a familiar ring in these messages. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Look, I love this word, being translated abolished in the 10th verse. It means to deprive of force or influence or power. There is more to life with God than in this human experience. He goes on to say, whereunto, through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. I had some folks in the museum this last week, and I was bringing out some understanding of the scriptures, and these people were pretty well churched. They knew the word, they loved the Lord, no doubt about it. And as I was explaining God's view and that of a difference between the house of Israel and the house of Judah, the guy claimed, and he said, well, what about the Gentiles? Well, a Gentile, folks, for your edification, is anyone who was not a Jew, which includes the house of Israel. I'm not going there today, but I don't think I'm too far away. Stay tuned. Paul says, I am an ambassador, a sent one, a teacher, didaskalos, a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which these offices that Paul received from God, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. Why? Because he says, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul here is talking about that commitment that God gave to him to be an ambassador, an apostle, and teacher of the gospel. God committed it to him, Paul committing that the gospel that he's committing back to God, the gospel which was given him, that God will keep it. In John 17, Jesus said, Father, while I was with them, I kept them. Now I come to you, now you keep them, Father. God is able. He goes on and says, hold fast to this young preacher the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He opens, the second chapter opens in, with Paul, no chapter and verse. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace, the unmerited favor that is in Christ Jesus. What is? Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For therein is revealed, that is, in the gospel, a righteousness of God from faith to faith. What is that righteousness? Because when we begin to act in faith, God puts us in Christ Jesus. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. That's what I'm trying to do. Who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Last week, we said, it's war. Paul is affirming in this letter that we are to be good soldiers. He says, no man that warreth, entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Hey, I'd like to go along with the rest of the fools that seem to populate so many churches today to say, oh, come to God and you'll never have a problem. Jesus said, when the word gets planted in you, affliction and persecution's going to come. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God that you might resist the devil. He says, therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That wonderful sacrament, that outward sign of what we are entering into when we are baptized in Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Romans that we're baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We're talking time versus eternity. This 18th verse of the second chapter, for a moment, for your edification, I'd like to spend a moment on. It says, let's go to the 16th verse, but shun praying, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. We've told you what that word means. Asabian, it means lack of awareness of the presence of God. And their word will eat as does the canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. What is he talking about there? God, it is said in so many churches today, has a great purpose for you in this life. And it will be manifest in victory after victory, in success after success, in prosperity, in happiness in this life. Because the resurrection is already past. Paul says, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. By the thousands, by the tens of thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, this heresy is presented in the church, that because the resurrection is already past, that this life is that life, this great life is that life that God purposed for you. And when those poor children experience the truth of the gospel, which comes with affliction and tribulation and persecution, they say, oh, the hell with this. The gospel can't be true. Well, that's because they're not hearing the true gospel. I'm not naming names. I'm trying to deliver to those whom God has brought to the God school the truth. He says in the 19th verse, Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, steady, immovable. The Lord knows them that are His. There's a passage in Isaiah where it says, God has engraven us in the palm of His hand. And yet, probably, unlike any man called of God in the last 2,000 years, the Apostle Paul finds himself, his human hopes dashed, 19 feet underground, the world rolling over him, in chains, in darkness. He continues to proclaim the gospel. He continues his unswerving faith that he is in the will of God. In the 12th verse of the 13th of the third chapter, Paul says, well, let's go. To the 10th verse. I'm going to use the marginal reference. But thou hast been a diligent follower of my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want to ease your mind a little bit. Tradition makes void the word of God. And when we hear that phrase, that will live godly, we think of, I don't know what we think of. We think of some kind of perfect life. We think of somebody who doesn't sin, who loves everybody, who gets along with everybody, who just prays day and night, who is in fastings often, who has a perfect life. That's not what the word means, folks. As Asabian is translated ungodliness, Asabian being lack of awareness of the presence of God, so Eusebios, the long form, the Greek, God, translated godly, is we are, we walk, aware of the presence of God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want you to go to the 10th verse of the 4th chapter. Paul speaking says, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He wants it now. But Paul, the great apostle by the will of God and Jesus Christ, he's waiting. And he's waiting with all confidence. Listen to the words that proceeded. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. No, give me what I want. I'm going to find a preacher that says it the way I think it should be said. I'm going to find a preacher who has my good in mind, who's going to tell me what great purpose God has in my life so I can go and enjoy this life and not suffer affliction and not suffer tribulation and not suffer persecution. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, keep telling the good news, make full proof of your ministry. That's what I'm trying to do here, folks. Paul now gives a personal testimony. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He's talking about his death, folks. And this word being translated departure in the Greek is analusis. And it is a naval term. It speaks of a ship being laden to begin its journey. Not coming into port, but ready to begin its journey. He says, listen to his words. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. He wanted it now. Folks, the truth is this. Eternity shall judge the denizens of time. The denizens of time have no ability to judge eternity. Jesus Christ died a failure. Excuse me. On the cross, in the eyes of men, but vindicated by the resurrection. Paul, his ministry coming to a conclusion in this earth, bound in chains, 19 feet underground, human hopes cast away. Continues to express his faith, his confidence, his action based on God's word and not on circumstance, based on the promises of God, which are forever settled in heaven. We hold on, folks. The word God has sowed in you and given you an ability to receive that word. It brings about affliction and persecution. as Paul says in that wonderful 8th chapter of the book of Romans, 36th verse, it says, "It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." But he doesn't leave it there. He says, "Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." That's God our Father. That's Jesus Christ our Savior and Deliverer. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Endurance is a key faculty of the Christian life. Godliness, aware of the presence of God with you, because Jesus said, "I shall be with you always." It is by faith, it is by grabbing hold of those promises, because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. As he said, so shall he do. As he has spoken, so shall it be. God has put eternity in the hearts of his children, and we have to keep that view. Shall be given a crown by the righteous judge at that day. And that's the God School for today.